Well, good evening, everybody. So, who is the Holy Spirit? So, when I noticed that I was going to be talking about this, I thought, well, that sounds like a nice idea. Then, on Friday, I was at Toddlers, the lovely minister greeted me, and she said, do you remember your preaching? Maybe I looked a little vague. But yeah. And it said, have you written it already? Extraordinarily, I had. So I was able to answer in the affirmative. And then, just to make me feel really secure, she said, no heresy. Come on. So I thought I'd take the safe option. The lovely Kath had provided the outline of who is the Holy Spirit from the Alpha Manual. I thought, well, if I use that, surely I'll be on safe ground. I can't make any mistakes. Well, actually, probably I can still make some mistakes. But anyway, so I thought I would just... Alpha... I don't know about... Has everybody been on an Alpha course? I mean, even as a Christian, it is really worthwhile going on an Alpha course, but you can't go by yourself. You've got to take a non-Christian friend. It's absolutely fantastic because it sets out the good news of the Christian faith in lots of easy steps. And actually, it's great. And so we got here something about the Holy Spirit. From the Alpha course, then a little bit of heresy, no, not heresy, a little bit of some other stuff to go with it. So when I first became a Christian 53 years ago, not a great deal was said about the Holy Spirit. As I understood it then, they said, when you believe in the Lord Jesus, he comes to live in your heart. Well, that seemed quite strange, but I accepted it, fortunately. And so, sense, of course, it was true. It wasn't until a few years later, as I grew in my Christian faith and spent fellowship with people who really understood who the Holy Spirit was, that actually I came to discover that for myself in a really personal way. And so 50 years ago, just over 50 years ago, around about Pentecost, I had this amazing sense of who the Holy Spirit was. And it was... a life-changing moment as the Holy Spirit poured himself into me in a really empowering and sort of revelationary, if that's a word, way. And forever, I've been changed. But who is this Holy Spirit? Well, he is God. Just as the Father is God and Jesus is God. It's simple and incredibly complicated at the same time. That's the theology of the Trinity. And I have to say, I'm not going to take it much further than that, trying to combine those three together. But what we see is that the Holy Spirit is this wonderful, empowering spirit that can reside in each one of us. In the Bible, we can see that the Holy Spirit was right there at the very beginning of the Bible. In Genesis 1:1, we see that he brings order out of chaos. He brings order out of chaos. And we see that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters in those first verses. And then we find that, of course, he breathes life into humankind in Genesis 2. In the Old Testament, he came upon particular people at particular times to carry out particular tasks. Here's a wee list. Bezalel for artistic work, we found in Exodus. Gideon for leadership. Well, we know about Gideon mostly. He's from Judges. And Samson, once again in Judges. He gave him strength and power when he needed it. And then we have Isaiah, the prophet. The Holy Spirit came upon these people for particular purposes. And the work of the Holy Spirit was promised as a new thing in the Old Testament that would empower God's people. In Ezekiel, we see that I will put my spirit in you is the promise. And again in Ezekiel, I will remove your hearts of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And in Joel, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Fantastic promises of what the Holy Spirit was going to do when he came in power. When Jesus was born, we see that the Spirit was at work in new and different ways. Everybody surrounding the birth of Jesus was filled with the Spirit. It was extraordinary. We hear of Mary being filled with the Spirit. Elizabeth feels the baby John the Baptist leap within her. I find that one of the most extraordinary ideas, that when these two babies inside their mums meet for the first time, John leaps within her. He must have been, you know, weeks old. That's absolutely extraordinary. And this links everything together. It shows us where this powerful Holy Spirit is coming to and from. And then we hear that John the Baptist himself, once he'd grown up, he says about Jesus, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than you than me will come, and the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So that's what John promised about the Holy Spirit. When Jesus came, he would baptize with the Holy Spirit. And actually, something that's both wonderful and humble, is we read that Jesus himself was filled with the Holy Spirit at the time of his baptism. In Luke chapter 3 and verse 22, we hear that the Spirit descended upon him and a voice from heaven said, you're my son, and with you I am well pleased. So how does this all apply to our lives here and now? Why is this a big deal? What practical use is the understanding of the Holy Spirit to you and to me? Well, Jesus predicts a number of things. He tells us that the Spirit will come upon those who believe in him. However, after this, in Luke and in Acts, we hear that they've got to wait for the Spirit, for the gift to come. They had to wait in Jerusalem. And then the Spirit would come. And of course, we know that in Pentecost, the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. And in Acts, it tells us they spoke with new languages. They spoke with a new boldness. And they spoke with a new power. That's what God's people need, isn't it? They need to be able to have the power and the boldness to speak out. We need to be able to speak in the language of the people that we're communicating with. So we are incredibly privileged to live in the age of the Spirit. Because before Jesus came, the Spirit was given for particular purposes to particular people. Now, everyone who believes in the name of the Lord Jesus and is saved is given the gift of the Holy Spirit to live within us. It's an extraordinary thing because it's so very personal, isn't it? Each one of us here, if we put our faith and trust in Christ, we have the Holy Spirit residing in us, taking up home in our very beings. We live in the age of the Spirit. And God has promised to give his Spirit to everyone who believes. Repent and be baptized, Peter said on that amazing Pentecost day. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That was the only condition for receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. Believe and receive. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, will have streams of living water flowing from within. So the title of this talk is, Who is the Holy Spirit? And I guess the question we might all ask is, why does it matter to each of us? Why do we need to understand that God's Spirit is at work and living in each one of us? Why is that important? Well, first of all, we're dealing with the mighty God, this creator of a universe we can't even begin to understand, and yet he takes up residence in each one of us. But I think that the understanding of the Holy Spirit and how God influences and empowers our lives can really only be held in balance when we understand what the task is that the Spirit of Jesus carries out in each one of us. We can so easily slip into getting the balance in our lives utterly wrong. Here are a few good ways of thinking. But they can be completely out of balance with the reality of our lives of faith. These are good things, aren't they? Being a Christian is indeed a lifestyle. My faith in Jesus, well, I feel it does define me. I live in obedience to the Ten Commandments. Well, I'll give it my best shot. With all my energy, I will serve God. I'm quite energetic. And of course, there's other stuff as well that we can say about ourselves. And in a way, there's absolutely nothing wrong with any of these statements. But there's something incredibly important that's missing. We can do none of these things without the inspiration and empowering of the Holy Spirit of the living God. Actually, without that, we are just living our Christian lives in our own strength, and that is hugely dangerous. And we might just be doing it for our own purposes as well. And as many people have found out, we can become sort of self-sufficient in our service of God if we're not doing it under the empowering of the Spirit. And then we become exhausted and burnt out. Knowing the work of the Holy Spirit helps us to step away from some of these errors. Being a Christian is a countercultural lifestyle. There's no doubt about that. But only when we are empowered by the Spirit dwelling in each one of us. Because if we do not listen to where the Spirit is leading us in this countercultural way of life, we can undo some of the work of God. And I know this for myself. Being such a naturally argumentative sort of guy, yeah, I quite like a fairly full-on discussion. And at times in my past, I've realized when I've looked back that I was full of myself and not full of the Spirit of God when I was challenging people about their rubbish faith in an afterlife that was fuzzy-wuzzy and, yeah, rubbish. But I just told them so. You know, I mean, it wasn't very kind. It wasn't very nice. It wasn't, you know, maybe their granny had died. I needed to be more gentle. Perhaps it was their cat. But even then, I needed to be more gentle. Actually, in some ways it's funny, but it is serious, because I know that some of the folks at my work, actually, they would avoid talking to me about stuff because they knew they'd just be steamrollered. Well, that's not following the Spirit of God. That's following the pride of Colin. So we've got to find this way of following where the Spirit leads. You see, the Spirit dwells in each of us, but we need to be aware of it and listening out for where he's leading us. And of course, there's also this extraordinary thing about the Spirit of God amplifying our gifts and abilities, the things that we may be good at, but actually, when God gets hold of them and uses them for his service, then wow, sometimes we can do extraordinary things. He enhances who we are at times. He even enables us to do things that would seem to us to be impossible, or maybe just very hard. When the Spirit is at work in us, we can do extraordinary things. Things that we maybe thought, I would never be like that. That's certainly my experience. Now, my faith in Jesus in many ways does define me, but that's only because the Spirit of Jesus has lived within my being and has affected every aspect of who I am. And that's happening to each of us. I've got an entire lifetime, 50 years, to look back and see these little steps that God has taken me through to bring me to who I am now. He's not perfected me yet. I have to be totally up front with that. Far from it. But I know he has changed me little by little. And he's doing that in every one of our lives if we're allowing him to touch us. We're being changed and redefined by God at work within us. I might aspire to live by the Ten Commandments, but I know how much I fail. Not that I've murdered anybody, but it's those moments of anger which burst out of me, almost uncontrollable. Just check it out with Jenny. Not with Jenny, but with the things around me. Sitting in a queue at the customs, in my car, screaming. So angry. I have failed. We all fail in little or big ways. But the creative spirit of Jehovah influences us from within our hearts and our minds, and the changes do come. And when we fail, the Spirit of our Savior brings us to a place of recognition of that, and a place where we can find forgiveness. And then we come to the most dangerous statement of them all. Well, I think it probably is for me anyway. I will serve God with all my energy. All my energy. Because, of course, my energy will just run out. I can't keep it up, can I? But what I need is to be empowered by God. If I don't do that, I will crash and burn. Self-reliance has been the downfall, of many Christians, both famous and unknown. We think that we're called to do God's work in this world. And of course we are. But we're not called to act on our own strength. We're called to act as empowered and inspired by Him. See, enthusiasm is a tricky thing. There was a lovely Scottish elder who used to be here, the lovely John, with whom I have many differences of opinion. But one day he said, "I don't really trust enthusiasm." And I was a bit confused by that, because, as you can see, the Greek word means God within. But also, I also understand, if it's my personal enthusiasm just coming out of me, then there is a danger. We need an enthusiasm that is driven from within, driven by that Holy Spirit living within us. I'm drawing towards the end of this little talk, so I wonder if I can get the band to sort of vaguely make their way up here. You've got time, but I'll... So, we also need to be aware of one final thing, and that is that the Holy Spirit is an encourager. Now, when God encourages you to do something, actually, we are in a slightly interesting position, shall we say. It can be a bit scary, because very often He's encouraging us to do something that actually isn't necessarily comfortable to us. I mean, sometimes He's encouraging us to use the gifts and the abilities that we already have, and He just wants us to use them in His service. But occasionally, He wants us to do something that's different. And we do need to be willing to go where He sends us, to follow where He leads. We need to be listening to the quiet, whispered prompting of the Holy Spirit of Christ as He communicates with us from within. We need to remain flexible and willing to change course and not be wedded to the success or maybe the failure of our past. God is at work in each one of us. There's no exceptions. He is at work in every single one of us in this room. That's how God is. He doesn't make exceptions. He is at work in every one of us. And we have to put our faith and our trust in Christ. And we have to understand that we have been gifted with the Holy Spirit of the Father to live, to reside in each one of us. Understanding that and knowing that gives us the possibility to do anything if we're called to. Because we are being made holy by the presence of God in our lives. In a sense, everywhere we are, everywhere we go, we are standing on holy ground because God is in us. I love the fact that on a Friday, this place is thronged with little children running around up here and just having a whale of a time during the sing-song. And sometimes their parents are a bit scared to come and fetch them when they get into trouble up here. They think of this as some sort of specially holy place. But actually, the only reason it's a holy place is because we're here. Because God lives in us. Jesus lives in us. The Holy Spirit has made His dwelling place here. We are God's people, His children, His body, and the Holy Spirit makes that into a reality for us. Let us just pray for a moment. Let us pray. Lord God, we just thank You for Your great love for each one of us, and that love which has made us your children. We pray, Lord, that you would come to each one of us and assure us that we are special enough to have you living in our lives. We pray, Lord, for all that is good and right and true to be embedded within us so that we can be sure that you, the Spirit of the living God, live here in our hearts. And we ask, Lord, that it wouldn't just be a technical, yeah, God lives in our hearts, but that we would know deeply that that is true, that we would experience it, and we would be able to find that place where you are inspiring us day by day. We pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.